Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. AHA, downtown in the Tulsa Arts District, will present the delayed opening of The Experience. Originally set for opening during the organization's annual Create fundraiser back in May, the shutdown of the city due to the pandemic delayed the opening till now. The Experience, Imagine, opens to the public today. The Experience takes up the whole second floor of AHA's gallery space and features six artist-created large-scale immersive installations that invite participants, both young and old, to touch and interact with the installation. There's a strong science fiction space-themed element, as you might guess, with a title Imagine, to several of the installation. Others creates a colorful techno-groove atmosphere, a cartoon environment, and yet still another offers a pan to the natural world. Each are replete with aspects to entertain interactively a child or the child inside of us all. The Experience, Imagine, opens at AHA at Boston and Archer today, and because of COVID restrictions, online advance tickets are strongly recommended. Attendance will be limited in the galleries. Amber Litwack is the Director of Education and Exhibitions at AHA, and she joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Amber Litwack, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know AHA has finally opened up after everything in the city pretty much closed down, and what has been eagerly awaited, and it was to be the centerpiece of your big fundraiser in May, is the reopening of The Experience. For those that don't know The Experience, what is The Experience?
The Experience is a series of large-scale immersive art installations that completely encompass the second floor of AHA Tulsa. So it's about, in total, it's about a 10,000 square foot exhibition.
And again, this is the second group of artists interpreting this space. Are there any sort of guidelines or prompts that you give the artists, or do you allow them free rein?
Well, this time, we asked artists to apply to be part of the experience. We had over 50 applications, and from that pool, we selected six artists. There is a theme. It's a very open-ended theme, and the theme this year is Imagine. So we asked them to draw inspiration from just the word and what they think of when they think of Imagine. Like I said, it's very open-ended. When people visit, you'll notice that all of the installations are very, very different, and people kind of ran in different directions with that theme.
They certainly did, but what was really interesting was it was sort of made a nice sort of walk through the floor as you went from exhibit to exhibit. Is that sort of the function of what you expect the experience to be like, so this very, very much tactile, immersive environment in which you're participating in these installations?
Yes, absolutely. And one thing, we really wanted each artist to have creative agency over his or her space. And we didn't necessarily want, as people visit, you'll notice that there are some thematic connections that just kind of happily emerged. But that wasn't necessarily intentional. We're really looking at these spaces as individual, standalone installations. And so there isn't necessarily a narrative that ties them all together.
Well, let's talk about the six artists. You said you had about 50 artists apply. What were you looking for in the artist's statement or the intent of purpose that you wanted, that helped you to pick these particular six artists?
Well, our exhibition committee reviewed the applications, and we were looking for concepts that were original. We really wanted something that we felt like we hadn't seen before, feasible. There were some ideas that were very, very ambitious, and, not that these aren't. They absolutely are. But one thing that we learned during the first iteration is that, when you have a year to work on something, believe it or not, that time goes by very, very quickly. And so we kind of learned what the general limits of what someone can accomplish in a year are. And so we really scrutinized those applications to make sure that the artist would actually be able to execute their visions in that time frame and have them done to a really high professional standard.
Mm-hmm.
We also looked at durability. Because this is interactive, we really wanted concepts that could take a beating.
Well, as you well know, when you go to an interactive exhibit, there's nothing worse than trying to interact with the exhibit and, you know, the video's down or the buttons are broken or whatever you're using to interact with the exhibit is just not working right.
Exactly. And so we really tried to pick concepts that the technology was straightforward enough that we would be able to keep everything functioning relatively easily.
Well, when you get off the elevator on the second floor at AHA and enter the experience, imagine, the very first immersive environment you walk into is Alton Markham's The Data Miner. Tell us a little bit about this immersive experience.
So Alton's inspiration for The Data Miner came from the amount of data that each of us generate just as part of the digital world and how corporations exploit that data for personal gain without most of us even realizing it. Just think about all of the information that we put out through Facebook, through social media, and the way that people buy that information and then use it to create very specific targeted ads to manipulate our behavior. He really hopes that his installation makes people stop and think about data rights. And maybe, you know, he comes from the perspective that, you know, we really need to protect our data and not let it be exploited in the ways that it is. So he's kind of hoping to raise a little bit of awareness around that issue as well.
Now, the Data Miner is this bright, engaging visual environment. And are we to sort of use our imagination to understand this message, or will there be interactive elements that sort of play off this data miner theme?
Yes, there will be interactive elements. I don't want to give too much away, but there is a main wall that has a lot going on. He used a lot of acrylic and fiber optics. But the main wall will be interactive, and there are actually clues. He wants people to discover his hidden messages, but there are clues throughout his installation that are etched in different plexiglass panels, and through the interactivity as well, some of those will be revealed.
Mm. And, of course, when you walk into the environment, you're struck by this just overwhelming visual environment. Lots of lights flashing overhead. There are fiber optic cables that are going throughout the space, giving you some sense of this sort of invisible environment that we participate in every day that data miners are finding out about us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little about Alton Markham. Tell us a little about his work and some of the other things he's done.
Alton is an immersive artist living and working in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Alton actually attended school at one of the top art schools in the country, the Art Institute of Chicago, where he studied film, video, and new media. And he has created a number of large-scale pieces throughout the United States. He was actually planning before he received this opportunity to apply to work at the new Meow Wolf Denver campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was actually really excited because he was selected to participate. He was able to stay in Oklahoma and have a comparable opportunity where he was paid for his work. So we're thrilled that he was able to stay here.
Now, you have three installations that I don't want to say they're connected, but they do use technology as sort of this theme base for their work. And from Alton Markham's Data Miner, you work into another, almost several art environments created by John White. Tell us a little about John White.
John's a lifelong Tulsan as well. John is a technology teacher at Tulsa Tech. He's a robotics coach, a drone racer, and a mixed media artist. He's been creating work for his entire life, as long as he can remember. And he really enjoys, you know, creating and sharing his work with others. He is really interested in using engineering and technology to bring his artistic vision to life. This is not his first large-scale immersive piece. He actually was selected for a grant to create a large piece at Burning Man Arts Festival in the past. And so John is a huge science fiction fan, so his inspiration for Into the Wormhole came from his desire to create an environment that allows the visitors to experience the wonders of future technology and space travel.
Yeah, and in fact, it's several different environments. The first is the Eviction, which is a sort of a spacecraft that's designed. Again, a very visual environment that you enter into. When you enter into the spacecraft, there are a variety of activities for people of all ages, but perhaps one of the most interesting is this terraforming sandscape. You'll have to explain it to us. It is literally a sand table in which, as you move the sand, it creates a geographic readout of the sand that you're moving.
It does. You explained it very well. It just kind of creates a topographic map right before your eyes, and that is all done through the use of projection onto the sand. And so there are infinite possibilities with the way that that can look. You can build mountains and, you know, green spaces and, you know, lakes and rivers. So it's really a lot of fun to play with and see how you can manipulate that environment.
Yeah, and the spaceship is one environment, and then there's another area which takes the ball drop, you know, where all the balls that you can jump into to a new meaning. It's called the black hole. Explain this little area.
That's right. So the black hole is kind of after you cross the event horizon in the spaceship, you enter the black hole, and you climb in and you kind of sink down due to gravitational pull in the space. So it's kind of supposed to loosely simulate a black hole. And then John actually has a third environment that will open shortly called the Dimension Shift. And this is a realm where humanity has crossed into a parallel dimension. And you'll in this space, you'll be able to encounter an alien. And, you know, you have to kind of appease the alien so you don't wind up as part of one of its experiments.
Well, it sounds very imaginative.
That will be a really fun space. And that will probably open here in a month or so.
Yeah. And we should mention my guest today, Amber Litwack, is the Director of Education and Exhibitions at AHA. AHA will be opening the Experience Imagine this weekend. 6 artist-driven, large-scale, immersive installations at AHA. And they've been working on these projects for a long time, but of course, for at least a month or two, everything stopped when AHA was closed, and literally artists didn't even have access to the space to create anything. How did that affect what we're going to see when this exhibit opens?
Yeah, that is correct. The pandemic really, you know, impacted this project and our organization quite a bit. There was about a 6-week period where the artists weren't allowed in the space at all. You know, when our city went on lockdown, we took those orders very seriously. We also were supposed to open the experience back in May at our annual Create Gala. And of course, that event didn't happen this year, so we kind of had to develop an alternate timeline. Some of the artists actually changed their concepts somewhat to make them less interactive than they were originally planned to be, because we were concerned about, of course, just sanitation. We want to make sure that everyone has a really stimulating and fun experience, but also a very safe experience. We also, one thing that really was a negative impact is that typically with a project like this, the artist have a ton of community support and volunteer hours and people who come in and just do various things. And we really, you know, because of the pandemic, wanted to limit the numbers in the space. And so that extended our timeline, in addition to closing, a little bit because the artists kind of had to take on a larger share of the hands-on work. They didn't really have that opportunity to delegate to as many people as they would under normal circumstances. And then another issue that we faced is that it became extremely challenging for them to source certain materials during COVID, because a lot of businesses and businesses that they were planning to purchase things from shuttered as well. And so that really impacted the timeline.
It not only impacted the timeline, but I'm sure it just changed the elements because, you know, the supply chains are completely in disarray. So if you order something, especially if it's coming from outside the U.S., those supplies, you might be waiting for them for months.
And that was something we experienced that was really, you know, a hang up. And I think, too, you know, the artists were in a really good place and working really hard, and just having that interruption, it really impacted kind of the momentum, and people needed a little bit of time to get back in the zone, so to speak, where they were, you know, completely focused on this, on finishing their installations. And, you know, it just, strange time, it impacted everyone differently, and, you know, it is what it is. But all in all, I think that they did a really good job of solving those issues that they faced and putting everything together to create a really outstanding finished product.
And what I find interesting is these exhibits are all interesting on a variety of levels. There's a lot of eye candy for children and families, you know, and things to interact with, even though that has been toned down for families. But there's also interesting environment and eye candy for adults as well. And the next artist perhaps as different from Alton Markham and John White as you can get. It's called Grow by Catherine Hare. And this is a indoor installation that I guess tries to move you into the outdoors. It has this interesting centerpiece of these constructed a deer and a fawn. These are far larger than life, utilizing a variety of sticks and limbs from trees to create these structures. Tell us a little about Grow.
So as Catherine puts it, Grow is inspired by the stories that the woods have to tell. Catherine was also really inspired by the type of nature dioramas that you see in natural history museums.
Right.
And she really wanted to play with scale. So when you enter the environment, you'll notice that the deer and the fawn are much larger than they are in real life. They're much larger than humans. She also wanted to create an environment that changes the way that ours does with day and night. So the more time you spend in her space, the light actually changes from dusk to dawn to back again. And there are some really fun interactive elements in her space. Everyone is invited to participate in creating layers of watercolor lichen and then leaving those in the space. And so she's kind of hoping, you know, as this exhibition remains up for a year or longer, that, you know, it will, the environment will change quite a bit as the lichen continue to grow. And this is meant to simulate the way that lichen kind of grow and take over everything in the natural world. You also have an opportunity in her space to use flashlights to capture fireflies. It's really interesting technology, and once you have captured them all, it triggers some environmental changes in the space as well. So these things will kind of happen intermittently as people interact with the space.
My guest today is Amber Litwack, the Director of Education and Exhibitions at AHA. AHA is preparing to open the Experience Imagine, a series of six artist-driven, large-scale, immersive installations. This is their second installment. And Catherine Hare's very much natural world-inspired immersive environment, you go to something like Justice David Gutierrez's Woo, which sort of throws you into a cartoon environment in a way, doesn't it?
It does. So one of Justice's inspirations, Justice has a background in film, animation, and illustration. And he is really interested in the aesthetic of old 8-bit video games and in claymation and stop motion animation. So when you enter his space, it's a soft pastel and musically vibrant landscape. So his environment, it's a very highly stylized environment with saturated colors, flat shapes, and it just really creates this really whimsical and otherworldly feel. There are some animations that are included. And just his work in general is just kind of a mashup of his interests in writing, music, goofs and gags, and new technology.
Yeah, the first space you enter, it's almost like you're into this 8-bit video game and you're in like a bedroom. And then as you walk through the installation, all of a sudden it changes again, creating these different environments that you're sort of immersing in.
Absolutely. So yeah, after you enter, leave the bedroom, you kind of walk through a walk-in closet with some flat stylized clothing, and then you wind up in a forest area that is highly stylized. This is where the animations are. Mm-hmm. And then you wind up in what he calls the grid room, so where you have kind of transitioned fully into this video game type environment.
Right, you sort of deconstructed through the past. Yeah, it's an interesting installation, and all of these are interesting in their own way. But perhaps the most interactive piece is by Andy Arkley. It's called Together, and I imagine this is going to be a very popular one. One, it has this incredible color scheme that is just so alive and vibrant, and then a series of buttons along a panel, and once you press a button, all of a sudden you're just into this vibrant groove music space.
Yes. So kind of at the core of Andy's artistic practice is an emphasis on creating work that is highly collaborative. So he really is interested in the connections that happen among people when they collaborate successfully, and creating a natural environment for people to collaborate and interact, people who may not otherwise, you know, ever meet or speak to one another. They have an opportunity to work together to create a collaborative piece of music and some animation in his space. I think the space really invokes just a sense of joy and elation for viewers. I absolutely love his space. Andy moved to Tulsa in 2019 when his wife, who is also an artist by the name of Julie Alpert, was selected to be part of the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. And then Andy applied and was actually just notified recently that he was selected to participate in that program as well. But before Andy came to Tulsa, he worked as a professional graphic designer and art director for major brands such as Eddie Bauer and Julep Beauty. So he has a really strong commercial art background, but now he's moving towards a path where he's able to create art full-time. And so we were super thrilled to have him as part of the experience.
And what I like about this exhibit is it has a real pop art sensibility. The graphics and the design of the immersive environment.
Yes, absolutely. It's also another, it plays really well off of Justice's face because they're both just these very stylized, colorful environments.
Well, we have some music from the actual installation, which, again, it changes depending on who is punching the buttons, but we can give you a sense of it. And this gives you a little bit of a sense of the music and the fact that each element is because somebody is punching a button, but it creates this interesting, vibrant whole. Here's some music from Together, the installation by Andy Arkley. Well, you get a sense of of the craziness of this, and it is really a crazy, you know, light and sound filled installation by Andy Arkley. My guest is Amber Litwack as we talk about the experience Imagine, which opens at AHA on Friday. She's my guest today. The last artist involved has created this another. It's again a science fiction sort of experience, but it's created completely from found materials. It's completely immersive, and Emily Simons has created this incredible story. It's a story environment in which you enter in this, what she calls the Tempus Parallax.
Yes. So the Tempus Parallax allows you to kind of see the universe through the eyes of her main character, Proto Turu. And Proto Turu is the solitary resident of the Tempest Space Station module. And so while you're there visiting this environment, you can investigate the story of what she calls the splicer experiments that led to an intergalactic revolution. And you can also learn about the ancient origins of the alien species that started that revolution. So Emily, in addition to being an artist and a mechanical engineer, she is also a writer. And so she is creating a companion YouTube series called Parallax that will launch in fall 2020. And there will be information for how to access that in her space. But there is a really deep narrative surrounding her work that people will have the opportunity to dig into. She also, you know, like you mentioned, Rich, she's also a very eco-conscious artist, and so she sourced a lot of her materials from junkyards and used them just in really unbelievably creative and imaginative ways. And just like, you know, time and the seasons change here in our environment, that's the same in the environment she created in the space station. And so she plans on kind of changing out some of the different props and things throughout the year.
And that's something that many of the artists are going to do. It's going to be an immersive environment that will change if you see it, you know, now in the early fall or at the late summer. You come back in early spring, it's likely to look somewhat different, right?
That's right. There are some artists who plan to make some changes along the way and to kind of keep things fresh. So that's really exciting. We, of course, want to encourage folks to come and visit us often. And so it's exciting for us that we'll always be able to have something new to discover in that space.
Amber, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rich.
Amber Litwack is the Director of Education and Exhibitions at AHA, located at 101 East Archer Street. The experience, Imagine, opens today at the facility. Information at ahatulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.